This is really the second part of a little series that we're doing on Focus this week to talk about water. And I started out trying to explain it this way. I said, you know, the thing is, it's very easy to take the resource for granted because in our homes, we turn on the tap and the water is there. And it seems like it's almost endless and it's clean and pure and we can put a glass under there and we can drink it and not worry about that. Well, the problem is that we don't worry about it. We don't think about where the water comes from, and I don't think we think very much about what happens to it when it goes down the drain. So what we're trying to do this morning on the program is to ask some basic questions. The first hour was intended to be a kind of an overview of the subject and took a little bit of a walk down the road of history, talking about how cities developed systems for water and for sewage. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about where the water comes from when we get it out of the ground and how we manage that resource. In this hour, we thought we would really try to bring it home here and talk with a couple of guests about our towns here, Champaign and Urbana, and talk a little bit about the systems that we have to bring water to our homes and to get rid of the waste. And I'm very happy to have here two guests with me in the studio. Dennis Schmidt, he is the director right next to me, director of public works for the city of Champaign, and also Ron Smith. He is a senior operations manager for field services and production with the Illinois American Water Corporation. That is the company that provides water to folks here in Champaign and Urbana. And we'll try to ask some basic questions. And the idea is also for people who are listening, you can do the same. You can call in and ask your questions. We hope people can be brief, just so we can get in as many callers as possible. But you're welcome to call or go online. So 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. And the email is will-talk@illinois.edu. So at any point here, you can certainly call in. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
I'm not quite sure where to start here because we're dealing with something sort of big, and in a sense, we have the two of you because we have two different things to think about, maybe actually three different things to think about. And the point did come up in the previous conversation that we may be a little unusual in our community because we really have three systems to talk about. We have a system that brings water into people's homes. We have a system that gets rid of the waste from people's homes. And then we have another system to deal with what falls out of the sky. Mm-hmm. And that there are places that deal with this differently in different sorts of ways. Is there any way you can talk about how it is we ended up with this three-part system, particularly where the sewers, the storm sewers and the sanitary sewers are two separate systems?
I guess at least from the storm sewer and sanitary sewer system being separate, I think that's a good thing. There are communities not that far from us that have what we call combined systems where the sanitary waste combines with the stormwater, but that presents a whole other set of challenges because as you try to treat that water before it gets to a stream, you're now trying to treat both the stormwater and also the sanitary sewage. Here in Champaign and also in the city of Urbana, as well as the village of Savoy, we're fortunate from the standpoint that we have separate systems. Sometimes after major rainstorm events, they behave in a combined way with sanitary backups. But in general, the two systems are separate, and I think that's a plus for our community because it does allow us to provide those services at a lower cost than it would be if the systems were combined.
Yeah. Well, how is it possible to say something about these two systems and how old they are, and what if you could go around and map them all and point to the oldest parts, how old they are?
I was the executive director before being the public works director for the city of Champaign for the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District, and the sanitary district had interceptor systems that dated before the 1900s. They were the 1898 interceptor systems, but the vast majority, or I'll say the major start of the wastewater infrastructure began about 1921, 1923 in this community, and there was a rather large interceptor system, which is just a large sanitary sewer that was constructed through portions of Champaign, Urbana, and then also that's when the wastewater treatment plant up in northeast Urbana was originally started as well. And so that's really became the beginning of our modern-day system, and obviously things have been expanded and added to over the years.
Yeah, so basically basically, I just want to make sure I understand that then for the water that goes down the drain and the water that goes down the storm sewer, that's not your personal responsibility, but essentially that's government responsibility that they deal with that.
That's correct. The waste, as you refer to as the drain, the wastewater, once it's a government responsibility shared between the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District, in our case the City of Champaign, but then also you're absolutely correct, the stormwater when it gets into the inlets that you see in the streets, that is the City of Champaign's responsibility as well.
So now it's the Illinois American Water Company. They're the ones that are responsible for getting the water from its point of origin. So for us, that would be the Mahomet
Aquifer. That's correct.
For getting it out of the ground. And let's leave that aside for just a second, but getting it out of the ground to my house.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder about the same thing, the pipes that do that. How old is that system?
We continually invest into the system, so we are continuously retiring older pipes. We do have some pipes that have reached their life expectancy. We also have brand new systems. So that question is difficult, but suffice it to say there are some pipes that are over 50 years old easily in the system, yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the path that the water goes through? So
sure.
from the point that you take it out of the ground, what do you do to it on the way to my house?
Right. We have three water treatment plants in Champaign-Urbana area, one that was most recently built out west of town, 2008, I believe. Water is pumped from the aquifer, and it enters the water treatment plant where, in plain terms, it's softened because the well water is very hard, full of calcium and magnesium. And then it's filtered, disinfected, and then fluoride is added. And then it's pumped into the distribution system where it finds its way to your tap.
Hmm. So you're drawing on the aquifer.
Yes, sir.
Pumping the water out of the ground. And then you're treating it and getting it to my house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, as far as I know, there's no water meter there on the aquifer for you, right? You're not paying anything for the resource that you're providing to me.
That is true. We have been permitted by the state to draw water from the aquifer to serve the people of the state, yes.
Okay. So I'm just making the point that then really, if you ask the question then as a customer of Illinois American Water, what am I paying for? Really, what I'm paying for is your pumping the water out of the ground, doing whatever kind of treatment necessary to get it to be potable and get it to my house. That's really what it is that I'm paying for.
Yes, sir. And then the continuous reinvestment to ensure that generation after generation have the same quality water that you do.
Yeah. Who inspects the water just to make sure that it is indeed clean and doesn't have anything problematic with it?
Well, the state has stringent water quality regulations, and so we, by regulation, are required to sample on a typical month 120 samples to test for bacteriologic contamination. That's the main concern, of course, the major public health issue, and then throughout the course of the year, we test for other contaminants as mandated by state and federal legislation.
I think that there from time to time we have conversations about the issue of bottled water and whether that is or is not good for the environment, and I think that one of the things that people have pointed out is in fact that the quality of our tap water here in Champaign-Urbana is really very good, and that there's really no particular reason for most people to go out and buy bottled water when what you got out of the tap is really good.
It's exceptional. And the price is something to consider as well. I think it's bottled water is for convenience, people that are maybe exercising or taking a trip. But at less than, it's less than a penny a gallon for tap water. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to drink bottled water.
So then, though, the main thing that you have to worry about to make sure making the water potable is that mineral content. There are things that would it maybe not be harmful, but would gum up the system, and so you want to get that out of there.
The Champaign-Urbana system is unique in the fact that we do soften the water here. That's not the same throughout the course of the state. So the answer is yes. It's for aesthetics mainly. Folks will have seen that a white residue on their appliances, their coffee pots get gummed up, hot water heaters fail quicker. That's because they're using hard water. So. In fact, we're improving the aesthetic quality of the water.
I think that I have a caller here, and I would certainly want to invite other people who are listening on WILL, people are watching on will.illinois.edu. Maybe I could just quickly introduce again the guests here in the studio. Dennis Schmidt, he's Director of Public Works for the City of Champaign. Also, before that, you used to work for the Champaign Urbana.
I was the executive director of the Urbana-Champaign
Sanitary District. Mm-hmm. So he's a man who's familiar with those systems. And also here is Ron Smith. He's senior operations manager for field services and production with the Illinois American Water Corporation. And we're doing a show here trying to talk about the infrastructure that brings water into our homes and then also gets rid of the waste. Basic questions are certainly welcome. I think between the two guests, they'll do their best to give you an answer. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, and email is will-talk@illinois.edu. And I am looking here at my screen, and I have a caller. I have a couple. We'll start first in Urbana, and this is line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Mentioned that our water is softened here in Urbana, I assume, as well as Champaign. And I'm wondering, what's the effect of this upon plants? I've been thinking about going to rainwater anyway, but soft water generally is considered lethal when it comes out of a home softener unit.
Right. Our hardness... We soften it down to 85 parts per million, which is considered moderately soft. And the pH of the water is 8.5, which, of course, that at 7 is the neutral value. So we're slightly basic, and our hardness is at 85 parts per million. I've lived in St. Louis where the water is much softer, and it hasn't had... It hasn't had an adverse effect on plants. So I would say yes, go ahead.
The problem is going to be, and this is true of the home softeners, salt residues in the water. And I assume probably you're removing the salts, but I don't know.
That's an excellent question. Our water source is the Mahomet Aquifer, which is groundwater. And all we are taking out, using lime, quick lime they call it, to remove calcium and magnesium. So there are no salt. It is not an ion exchange process as a home softener would be. So we do not have any salts in the water.
Okay, that's good news. I suspected you had some way of avoiding the salts because they'd have other problematic issues there, but that's certainly good news. Actually, the pH isn't that bad because the soil in pots and the soil in general is going to buffer that to the point where it'll get it down below 7 probably without too much trouble.
Well, okay, thank you very much. Very good. Let's go on. Another caller. Line 2. This is also someone in Urbana. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
My question was about the fluoride and when they started adding that to water and why. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm not an expert on the history of fluoridation, but I know it's been several decades, probably in the 60s, I believe. And the reason is for tooth health. And I know water has a natural concentration of fluoride in it anyway, especially groundwater. So we add fluoride to the concentration of one part per million, which is deemed sufficient for proper tooth health. And I think it was in the 60s when the Dental Association came out with that recommendation.
Okay. Other questions, welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And if you want, you can send us an email, will-talk at illinois.edu. Here's an email. Let's see if I can do this for you. Someone writes in there, in their neighborhood, which is South Mayfair, the visible problem with wastewater is that the city workers simply don't keep the storm sewers clear of brush and leaves. Are there any regular maintenance programs? And if so, what's the schedule? The person writes, the only time I've ever seen city workers cleaning the storm drains is when I have called them. If there's no commitment to keep the drains open, they propose new pipes are a waste of time and money. So I think this maybe is one for you.
Sure. Good question. The emailer is absolutely correct. If keeping those inlets open is a challenge for the stormwater. I think what folks need to keep in perspective here is there's over 10,000 inlets in the city of Champaign, and obviously I don't have the workforce to be able to keep all the vegetation and leaves that could possibly accumulate on those off all those inlets all the time. I don't use that as an excuse, but it's just the reality of what we're faced with here. We do sweep city streets, but unfortunately that's only on a monthly cycle. So, yes, we do a good job when those sweepers go down through there cleaning off the inlets. But after that, things do accumulate. What we do try to encourage folks to do is adopt an inlet. If you can clean those inlets yourself, that's definitely going to serve your neighborhood better. But at the same token, given our public works number, a call at 403-4700, we'll definitely send our staff out to clean those, but it's more on a reactive basis rather than on a proactive basis.
Okay. Well, let's talk again with another person here. Someone else, this is somebody in Champaign. Line one, hello.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've touched on this subject yet, but I'm concerned about the Clinton landfill where they're proposing to put PCBs in, and they say that they're lined with their rubber fabric to prevent that material from getting into the Mahomet Aquifer, and I'm sure that fabric hasn't been in use for over 100 years because it's probably only 10 years old. How does the guest feel on that subject, and have they taken any stand to oppose it? And if not, why?
Okay. I don't know if this is something that you can feel that you can talk about.
Sure. I can definitely address it from the city of Champaign standpoint. We agree with the caller. This is definitely something that needs some serious thought before that's allowed to be done. The aquifer is key to this community and the success of a lot of Central Illinois communities. And with respect to the efforts of that's going on right now, trying to get a permit to allow those materials to be filled or deposited there at Clinton. I know the city of Champaign, city of Urbana, Champaign County, and I know the town of Normal. I'm probably forgetting some other communities that are involved, and I apologize that, but we all have joined together, and we have filed a legal challenge to both the US EPA and IEPA to challenge them on whether or not a permit can be issued. So that's one front that we're trying to approach. I think what this issue's done is it's really drove home the importance of this aquifer. And so another effort that the communities are looking at as well is some type of sole source designation for that for the Mahomet Aquifer that will help more with a long-term protection. Yes, there's an issue today about the Clinton landfill, but, you know, it could be something else tomorrow, something else 2 years from now. So it probably does make some sense that we look at some type of designation on that aquifer to designate some type of lasting and long-term protection for it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that citizens can do individually to help with this procedure?
I guess the our legal department at the City of Champaign is heading that up, and you're more than welcome to send us an email and offer that help. And I know we've been collecting that type of those types of requests, and we'd be more than happy to involve folks, or also just to keep you advised when your help could be needed through that process as well.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for your comment.
Thanks. I don't know. Did Ron Smith, did you want to comment too?
Just an added comment. The water company is also concerned about the potential of problems there at the landfill. We have decided to focus on the science end of the problem. We are also looking at the sole source aquifer designation, and we are working through the Mohammed Aquifer Consortium, which is a non-for-profit group composed of all the stakeholders in the aquifer, and we are looking at post-haste, looking to determine the pros and cons, the benefits of this designation, and we'll hopefully come up with something within 30 days is what we're looking at to see how we're going to proceed.
Okay. I do want to mention, too, for this program tomorrow, in this hour of the show, I think we're going to try to get into some more of the issues that have to do with the aquifer and managing that resource, protecting that resource and so forth. And we are going to have two guests, Vern Knapp and George Roadcap, and they're both hydrologists with the Illinois State Water Survey based on the U of I campus. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can talk some more about that very issue tomorrow on the show. And more questions. I have somebody else here ready to go. More questions are certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And if you'd like to send us an email, that address is will-talk at illinois.edu. And again, to another caller, Champaign, this is line number two. Hello.
Hello, is line two?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm a single-family homeowner in Parkland Ridge, across Bradley Avenue from Parkland College. And I hate to say it, but I don't know where my water meter is. And I am a little bit concerned that I might have some leakage. Am I metered from just what actually reaches my house, or do I pay for any leakage that might be happening in the pipe going from the street to the house?
Well, go ahead.
That's a great question. You are paying for water that goes through your meter. If you're suspecting a leak after the meter, please give us a call and we'll come out and check and make sure. If it's on the street, then that's up to us. If you see water coming to the surface, let us know as well. We need to get out there and fix it. So you
where
are only.
Where would my meter be?
It
would it be in the house?
Yes, ma'am. It's probably in the house. Most of the meter sets in Champaign-Urbana are inside. So we need to have permission to come inside and check things out for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, again, thank you. And other questions, too, welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. A little bit earlier, we talked a bit, at least, about the water, where it comes from, and how it gets into the home. And I want to at least talk a little bit about what happens when it goes down the drain or you flush the toilet, where that water goes, because we have, as we explained a little earlier, we have a dedicated system for that, mm-hmm. to deal with waste water.
Right.
What happens to that once it goes down the drain?
Every home, I'll answer in terms of a single-family home. Each single-family home has their own private service line, and so that water will accumulate to one location in the house and then exit the house through the private service line. That usually travels in some cases, a couple of hundred feet, and then it enters into the city's system at that point in time. And we've got collector sewers running down backyards, down streets, down alleys throughout the community that's collecting the wastewater from each of these individual homes into our sanitary sewers. And obviously, as that collects more and more wastewater, the pipes get bigger. We've got manholes at various locations, a change of directions for maintenance purposes as well. But eventually, all that will go into what we call the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District. Not only do they provide wastewater treatment services in the community, they also operate, maintain what we call the major transport facilities. And so they maintain what we call the large, the interceptor system. And all an interceptor is just a very large storm sewer, sometimes 24, sometimes 36 inches in diameter. The service line, just to put that in perspective, the service line leaving your house is probably 4 to 6 inches. The city sewer is typically 8 inches in diameter. So these are very, very big pipes. Also, due to the fact that Central Illinois is so flat, often these interceptors run to pump stations. There's 20-plus pump stations in the Champaign-Urbana area, and those are operated and maintained by the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District as well. And then that wastewater is then pumped a lot of times right directly to one of the two wastewater treatment plants. There's a large wastewater treatment facility in northeast Urbana, and there's also the one located in southwest Champaign at the intersection of Rising Road and Windsor Road. And that's where the wastewater treatment, everything arrives there, and that's where the treatment scheme of the wastewater then takes place.
Mm-hmm. So then what, I'm sure that that is cleaned, that solid material is removed, so there is stuff left over. What do you get at the end of that process?
Well, that's called, back when I originally started in the business, it was called sludge. It's now referred to as biosolids. And the way the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District disposes of their biosolids is with an application onto farmland, which obviously fits very nicely into central Illinois environment. Now, prior to that, though, what the sanitary district does do is they do dewater that material so that it does come out to be almost kind of like a solid or a cake-like type of material that is what's applied to farmland.
Okay, so you get fertilizer, and yes. there is liquid. What happens to that?
The liquid portion of it, the water that's the effluent from the plant. That's what's been treated at that point in time, and then that's discharged into nearby streams. And just like the water company, the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District has stringent requirements and testing requirements, self-reporting requirements, where they're required to test for all sorts of parameters on that wastewater, and there's permit limitations on what that effluent can contain before it's discharged mm-hmm. to the two streams. And so in southwest Champaign, they discharge to the drainage body that we call the Copper Slough. And then in northeast Urbana, it's discharged to the Saline Branch is okay. where it's discharged to.
So in a sense, it's a closed system in the sense that the water cycle is a closed system, but it goes back into the environment.
Exactly. Everything from the process ends up in the environment, whether or not we're talking about the biosolids or the wastewater treatment, that all ends up back into the environment. Yes.
We're talking here about water, and in this sense, we're talking about what comes out of your tap in your house when you turn it on, where it comes from, and where it goes, with a couple of guests that deal with that on a local level here. We have the Director of Public Works for the City of Champaign right here next to me, Dennis Schmidt, and also Ron Smith from Illinois American Water. We'll talk some more after a short break. This is Focus.
Nathan Englander has a new collection of short stories based in part on being raised as an Orthodox Jew and having an overprotective mother.
My mother raised me very clearly that if you cross the street, you will die. If you go outside, you will die. If you play sports, you will likely die.
Nathan Englander on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 and this evening at 7 on AM 580.
WILL programs are made possible with support from The Great Impasta, a family-owned restaurant serving foods from northern Italy for more than 25 years. The Great Impasta, Lincoln Square in downtown Urbana. More information is available at 359-7377. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner.
This is Focus, our morning talk program. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you listening on WILL. And if you're watching, you're on our webpage. That's WILL.illinois.edu. This morning, we're talking about water, about how it gets to us and where it goes after we're done with it. I do want to mention two other programs this week that we'll be doing to get at different facets of this issue. As I mentioned, tomorrow morning, we'll be talking with Vernon Knapp and George Roadcap. They're both hydrologists with the Illinois State Water Survey based on the University of Illinois campus, and we'll be talking about planning and management of the water resource that we have here in East Central Illinois that we all draw on. Also on the program on Friday, the guest is Daniel Schneider. He teaches in urban and regional planning. He's also with the Illinois Natural History Survey. We'll talk about a little bit more about how we treat sewage, what we do with that stuff. That's on the program on Friday. You can see the schedule by going to our website. That's WILL.illinois.edu. That way you can also listen to past programs. A lot of shows there for you to maybe to hear the first time, or you might like to go and listen to them again. You can follow us on Twitter, Will Public Media. You can also find us on Facebook. This is Focus, our morning talk program. I'm David Inge. Glad to have you listening and watching. And we're also happy to have here as guests in our studio Dennis Schmidt, Director of Public Works for the City of Champaign, and Ron Smith. He's Senior Operations Manager for Field Services and Production with Illinois American Water Corporation. And we're talking a little bit about how our water and sewage systems work. We call the program Water 101. I shamelessly stole that from your website there at the water company. But I think that's other fine. People have actually used that for this very thing as a way to do basic sort of Q&A and get people thinking about, yeah, where that water comes from and then what happens to it. So mm-hmm. I'm glad you both could be here. And we had some other callers here. So we'll get back to the phones and we'll talk to somebody in Kankakee. We'll do that next. Line 4 right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
This is Kankakee. I have a question, or actually two questions. One is about leachate from landfills. You know, through the process of, you know, like different hearing processes and stuff, you don't hear much about what happens to leachate when it's not circulated within the landfill and then it's taken and put into a waste treatment facility. And I guess, to me, it seems like, you know, there'd be like tens of thousands of different possible chemicals that would be in the leachate. And so I'm wondering how in the world a treatment facility can actually, you know, change those or break those down or render them harmless if they are, in fact, introduced into the treatment facility. And the second question I have is, regarding things like in the sludge that's applied to the farm fields, some of the things that are concentrated in the sludge, like I know that I read one story about the stuff that's in antibacterial soap actually not being broken down and made to concentrate in that. And I just wonder if your guests could speak to that maybe.
Well, I guess I'll take a crack at a couple of those. With respect to, I'm not sure I'm familiar with the specific compounds that you're talking about with respect to hand soap. I guess
that would be trichlorban and triclosan.
Yeah, and I apologize. I'm just not sure that I that familiar with that. I guess with respect to the biosolids in the Champaign-Urbana area. I guess with respect to this location, we're very fortunate that the major industry in this community is the University of Illinois. And so we just don't have a lot of industry in the community that has any type of metals or other major concerns. Now, we do have a lot of hospital facilities, and there's been more and more attention being focused on the discharges from those facilities. And frankly, a lot of those facilities now have a lot of self-contained systems, and most of those materials are now captured that could have possibly been discharged 10 or 15 years ago. So at least with respect back to our location down here in the Champaign-Urbana area, we start off with some very clean materials for the most part due to the where the wastewater is produced, and so we don't have a lot of the more stringent testing requirements that you might see in some other industrial locations. So that's probably the I'm probably at the edge of my knowledge at that point in time. But I guess with respect to your question on leachate, again, that's really not something that that we do a lot with around here. Again, Champaign County does have a couple of closed landfills, but our active landfill at this point in time is actually outside of the community. I do know there was some discussion at one time about some leachate being collected and brought to the wastewater treatment facilities for treatment here at the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District. But then once again, that was very limited, and there was going to be some extremely extensive amount of testing before any of that was going to be accepted. So once again, that's probably not something that's handled anywhere on a regular basis here in the Champaign-Urbana area.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. On again to another caller here. Line one, this is somebody listening in Champaign. Hello.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I had a question. One of them is for just one guest, and the other is maybe for both of them. Combined question, what is being done, if anything, to cooperate, maybe to reclaim some of that liquid waste after the waste is processed and you get the sludge or whatever you call it, and then the liquid there. Is there any hope of reclaiming any of that? And a related question to that is how, when you release that into streams and so forth, what percentage of that, if any, goes to recharge the aquifer? So that's one question. The other question is, and you can answer either one of these or neither or whatever, both. From the water company's standpoint, when they get a rate increase for new facilities or new equipment and so forth, what percentage of that investment is covered by the rate increase, and what percentage is covered by the company's own revenue source, namely our fees, which is the source? And when would that rate increase ever be cut off when the cost of those improvements were recovered? That's kind of a couple of fairly long questions there. Just address either one of those if you can.
Okay. Well, let's do the last one first.
Okay.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah. The we, as you probably are aware, we have a rate increase, a rate case pending in front of the Illinois Commerce Commission. Now, in that rate increase, 85% of that increase is to cover investments in infrastructure upgrades, and the remaining 15% would be O&M type issues to cover operating expense increases and reduced revenues.
Right. That didn't quite address the question. I guess the question is if the improvement costs $100 million and the rate increases provide what percentage of that $100 million and money that would otherwise be used for company profits cover what percentage of it? Does the rate increase cover all $100 million of that new, the improvement or maintenance of refurbishing of
Yes, it's intended to. We build our case and then present the facts. We are the Illinois Commerce Commission is charged to ensure that we, as a regulated utility, are only charging what it costs to actually deliver the water to the customers and to keep the infrastructure up and running and new product or new infrastructure improvements. So that the answer would be 100%, and as determined by the Illinois Commerce Commission.
And so the public owns the product, which is the water, and they also essentially pay for or own the infrastructure as well, in a sense.
They're paying for it, yes, through their rates, correct.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you.
Let's. I want to come back to the first question because I think it's interesting and raises some questions. And here's the way I think about it, or one way to think about it. the liquid that you get from your sewage treatment plant that ends up being cleaned up and then discharged back into the environment. It would be possible to clean that to the point where you could give it back to people and they could drink it. You could make it potable and give it back and introduce it back into the system. And you could really have a closed system. And there are places where they're really concerned about their water supply and they're either actually doing it or they're talking about doing it, which is kind of a hurdle, the big hurdle to get people over if you start them thinking about what goes down their toilet coming back out of the tap. How do you think about the possibility of truly making that a closed loop?
Maybe I'll take the first crack at it because I maybe can give a little bit of a historical perspective on some discussions that have been taking place in the past about reuse. I'll be the first to admit, though, that I don't I'm not that knowledgeable about what level of treatment would have to take place and what's the additional steps that would have to go through to do that. I must admit also on a cursory level, I probably agree with you that does take place elsewhere, and I would probably point more toward the arid climates where this type of stuff has been used. But I guess the ones where I am more familiar with reuse is, for example, where the effluent from a wastewater treatment plant is used for irrigation purposes, whether we're talking about irrigation on farmland, irrigation on golf courses and the like. That used to be the idea of having zero discharge is probably the attractive element that comes into play here with wastewater treatment providers, because that if you don't discharge anything into the stream, that just releases you from a host of requirements at that point in time. I guess as the I probably should point out, you know, a limited amount of that actually takes place at the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District. When I was there, we used the treated water to for seals on pumps. There was a regular percentage of that water that was used there at the wastewater treatment plant. You know, washing down pumps, we use that type of water for those things. Obviously, irrigation, even on the treatment plant grounds itself, we used all of our a certain portion of effluent was pulled away to for those types of purposes. But we had been approached on more than one occasion about some entrepreneur that was interested in using the wastewater, the discharge, for some purpose. Quite a bit of discussion when there was a lot of interest in putting these natural gas generating facilities up. A lot of that went by the wayside when the natural gas market changed. But those facilities had a large component of need for water for cooling purposes. And so they were looking for an alternative to pumping the water out of the ground or using something that's been treated by Ron's group as well. So there were some discussions, but those types of things never did get off the ground. Yes, I know it goes on elsewhere in the country. There's been some looks at it here in central Illinois. A limited amount of it is actually used in the facility, but there's just nothing on a large-scale basis that I'm aware of.
Well, I'm sure it gets more complicated because it raises further treatment issues, and then you have to have some, you know, you have to have some additional infrastructure to deal with it, to you know, to get it to wherever to whoever is going to use it, which probably then says you're going to have yet another. You have to a gray water system to deal with that if it's going to be used industrially, but it's not potable.
And I would probably add one more complication to that, and that is there's a whole regulatory side of this, and that obviously the IEPA, which Ron and I both deal with on a regular basis, would have to be on board with that type of allowing that type of thing to happen as well.
Well, so what's the water company perspective on this, or is there one?
Typically not, no. It is something that, as Dennis mentioned, that the technology is not far off to make this happen, and I can see arid climates being a perfect opportunity to use it. Underdeveloped nations might be to make use of that as well. There's always the psychological impact of people. You have to get folks' confidence level built up before they would agree to implement a system like that. You know?
Okay, let's talk with some more folks. So we have several, and we're coming down to the point where we have 5-6 minutes. I don't know if we can get in everyone, but we will see what we can do. Going next to Urbana and line number 2. Hello?
Hi, yes, you're from American Water Works Company, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I'm looking at a trade magazine ad for American Water Works Company, and it's touting a 5% dividend increase year over year paid to its shareholders since 2008. And if I understood you right, you made a statement like 100% of the rate increases have to go to infrastructure and distribution. So that doesn't make sense, because if all these rate increases are just for that, then how can they tout their 5% dividend increases year over year from 2008? And if I remember, 2008 was when they got that big 40% increase in our rates.
Well, we are, as I said, heavily regulated, and we are allowed to make a profit. I believe we're allowed to earn up to 8%. Don't quote me there, but I think that is what we can make on our investments. So, but we take that and then turn it back into reinvestment into our systems.
No. These are dividends to shareholders. They go to someone. That's cash in somebody's pocket, like someone's account, a brokerage account.
Right. Well, we are a publicly traded company.
Right. Yes. So you're not talking about reinvesting. You're talking about distributing revenues out to shareholders.
Well,
where I am.
I think you are, yes.
Yep.
We invest on a daily basis into our system to give our customers the best possible service. We're very proud of the fact that we have a Class 1 ISO rating from the insurance service organization, which means that our firemen in town here in Urbana have the highest rated water system, which helps them to fight fires, and then in turn will help our customers reduce their insurance rates. So, it's all very.
If you're such a reputable company, why don't you just honestly say, okay, this portion of the rate increases is going to shareholder dividends because we need to keep them happy, and you're touting a 5% increase year over year.
I'm sorry, I can't address that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just to be clear, this is a publicly traded company. You have stockholders. You pay dividends.
Yes. Yeah. That's why people will buy the stock. They're looking for a return on their investment as well. Yeah.
All right. Let me just go to the phones again, because again we're getting short on time, maybe about 4 or 5 minutes, and I want to try to get everybody in here. Savoy would be next, line number 1. Hello.
Hi. Yeah. I'd like to know the cause and the solution of the problem that we're having within the last 12 months of electric dishwashers leaving a film on the glassware.
I think that's probably for the man from the water company.
Pardon?
I'm passing that over to the man from the water company.
I'm thinking because I do.
It was always a wonderful place to get glass to sparkle better than it ever could.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's progressive clouding on it, so that I'm washing all the glassware by hand rather than going through the dishwasher.
There, I'm thinking two things. One, maybe the dishwasher has getting some age to it. Or secondly, there's a product you can buy, I think, that will help eliminate water spots, and maybe that might help you out. Our water is still the same, and our treatment process has been the same. So I'm thinking it might be the age of the dishwasher.
But I'm seeing it also in hospital glassware isn't as sparkly as it was before, and I wondered if there was a chemical in the product for the electric dishwasher, the cleaner, that had to be changed. I heard a rumor to that effect, and I thought you would know whether there was something they were adding to the water that was not corrected anymore.
No, not to my knowledge, ma'am. It's we have employed the same softening process for years now.
Oh, okay. thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. We'll try to do at least one more. That would be Urbana, line three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
My question is regarding the effluents, I guess, the cleaning of the sewage, and that is regarding antibiotics. And I've been reading some about that, and apparently most water treatment plants do not have a way of filtering those antibiotics out, and I don't know in general whether they go into the solid waste or the liquid waste. I'm just curious what's being done about that.
Oh, again, I'm not sure I'm knowledgeable enough to be able to address your question directly. I guess indirectly, I would have a tendency to think that it's probably a concern at both ends. In other words, both in the biosolids and also in the effluent from the wastewater treatment plant. But what is being done to address that, I don't have that answer. But if you wanted to give a call out to the Urbana-Champaign Sanitary District, their phone number is 367-3409, and talk to the executive director out there, Rick Manor. I'm positive Rick can tell you what the current thought on that process is. I do know there's been more and more emphasis being placed on those types of issues that's led to a lot of the prescription drug collections, for example, that have been taking place in this community as well. So I do know that that is a concern, and probably the best place to get an answer for that is just giving the sanitary district a call about that to see what they're doing about that and what they plan to do.
Okay, thank you.
Certainly, it is an issue. One issue is the stuff we take in that runs through us, but I think for a long, long time the advice was if you had old medicines that you should flush them down the toilet.
Exactly.
And now they're saying, no, don't do that anymore. And there are special times set aside. It's kind of like with recycling your old TVs. Kind of the idea is you're supposed to save them, and then at the time comes, then you can turn them in, and then they're disposed of in an appropriate manner.
Yeah, it's just amazing how small of a concentration, what little it takes to develop a small concentration.
Yeah. So. Just one more thing. Interestingly enough, someone was listening to the conversation about the water spots and said that they thought that the problem was that over time the phosphates have been removed from the detergents that people use to wash their dishes, and that the dishes don't come out sparkly as much because there's less phosphate, which is done for the environmental
impact.
Exactly.
Right. And
phosphate, that's a good point.
That's right. It's a surfactant, which repels.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to have to leave it at this point. I want to thank the guests here with us. Dennis Schmidt, he's Director of Public Works for City of Champaign. Ron Smith from Illinois American Water Corporation. And also mentioned that we're talking some more about water tomorrow, and then we're going to try to get at some of these issues that have to do with the aquifer and managing that resource. Vern Knapp and George Roadcap will be with us. They're both one is a hydrologist and one is a hydrogeologist. I think I said they were both hydrologists. Anyway, they both work at the Water Survey, so we'll talk about that tomorrow in our 11 o'clock program. Hey, thanks very much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.